All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I make this look good.
You are now listening
to the Movie Review Crew podcast.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Does anyone else hate my voice, or is it just me?
We just hate you.
There you go.
Dang, that was rude.
I mean, he nailed it.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. Now you're listening to another Movie Review Crew podcast. It sounds like an idiot. Hate that guy. Anyway, this is Movie Review Crew. We're talking Back to the Future on today's episode. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Aaron Kronikin.
Hello.
Brent Frugier.
Hello.
Steve Rushlaw.
How you doing?
And Shane Kronikin is somewhere lurking in the background.
With his mic muted. Oh, my God.
Hello, I'm here. Can you hear me? I couldn't. Lurking in the background as he's, like, on video is just like...
I'm here. I'll be muted for most of this, but I
good,
am here.
Good.
We were... Today was going to be a trial run for a YouTube episode through Discord. We were going to set it up. It was going to look pretty slick. Discord doesn't have good audio right now or something. So I don't know if we'll be on YouTube just yet, but I think for the future, our show might be going to YouTube. Right, Shane?
To the future.
Yeah, hopefully relatively soon. Once we figure everything out, right now we're just kind of troubleshooting and figuring things out. But we'll get there eventually, and we have some good ideas for weekly episodes or things like that. So
yeah, so we'll things keep eventually. Things keep chugging along for the Movie Review Crew. This is a great time to recommend our website. Go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. You can request movies right on your homepage. We had a giant list of requests last week, so hopefully we can start knocking those out in the future. But on today's episode, we're going to be talking Back to the Future, as well as what we have watched in the midst of quarantine. So let's start with that. What movies have you guys watched recently, or shows, whatever have you?
Well, I watched... has anybody watched Spencer Confidential on Netflix?
Yep.
I have. No.
Man... That was
bad.
It wasn't good. It wasn't terrible.
I don't want to say duh, but duh.
I mean, well, the first time we came back after quarantine, I mentioned it. And I mean, it's just Mark Wahlberg being Mark Wahlberg.
I have no
idea. Yeah, essentially, it's Mark Wahlberg trying to solve a crime, and it's not funny. It's not that great. It's not. It's just kind of meh.
Is it True Detective if Mark Wahlberg was cast?
No, it's True Detective trying to be funny with Mark Wahlberg cast and not written very well or acted very well at all.
So that's just what it said, basically. Yeah.
But okay, like a shit version. Oh,
okay. Fair enough. Okay. Anyone else?
Well, I did watch one more thing. Yeah. Well, you weren't talking.
Yeah.
I did watch The Lovebirds on Netflix. I don't know. I think Steve said he started that one. Kumail Nanjiani and Issa Rae, I think is how you say her name. And that one's actually pretty funny. I like that one.
Yeah, that didn't get very good reviews, at least from what I saw early. So
really, I haven't seen. I didn't look up any of the reviews. I didn't look up really anything, but I enjoyed it. Kumail Nanjiani, that dude cracks me up. So I'm a little biased, but I really liked it.
I think the three of us that were on the Big Sick talked about the Lovebirds when we were doing the Big Sick and how we were interested in watching it. So. Yeah, I just fell asleep last night watching it and didn't get a chance to finish it. So my goal is to finish that today.
Oh, that's, you know what? That's Michael Showalter. Isn't yep. he the guy? He did the
Wet Hot American Wet Summer. Wet Hot
American Summer, yeah. He's a funny dude.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, it looks like Lovebirds has just middling reviews on both Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb. 54% of the audience said they like Lovebirds. So,
very but that's the content you get during a quarantine. Middling what? Netflix movies.
Well, but this one was supposed to be slated as a wide release. Am I correct?
Yeah, and then they sold it to Netflix so they could get it out sooner.
Yeah, that unfortunately maybe is becoming a trend with these companies that can't release their movies, because what has the world come to that Tom Hanks' World War II movie now going to be straight to video on a crappy Apple streaming service?
Okay. Crappy. First off, I think Apple they have a couple good, like, highly rated series on their Apple TV.
Oh, well, I don't care about TV series. I'm talking about movies.
Okay. Well, so they're trying to step up their game to get leading actors.
I'm
like
not
Tom
giving
Hanks.
Apple any money. I'll tell you that right now. I will never pay for that streaming service.
No, I probably won't either.
So if I have to find another way to watch that movie, I will.
Yep. Orange TV.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to go there, and I don't like it.
Here, I got you.
There you go.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all up for people. The thing, okay, I wish companies would make a way to, like, Hulu and ESPN are one company, so you can order Hulu through the same service. Like, they're combined, right? But now if you're ordering Netflix, HBO, Hulu, all of these things, you're just spending a ton of money and you can't get all the shows that you want to get. So I wish that there was, I don't know, maybe like something like cable or something where you could access all of these things, ..
Well, there are a few things like YouTube TV, it has like stuff like that, but it doesn't have probably every channel that you would want. Like, it doesn't have the Comcast channels like Comedy Central and stuff like that. But
speaking of this, I was talking to my coworker, this was months ago, and they said, we ditched cable to go to the streaming services only. And the best way that they found was through PlayStation View.
Which they got rid of.
Which PlayStation canned like 6 months ago or whatever. So it must not have been making a profit or something.
I actually used that too for a while. And then there was like a free trial for that YouTube TV. And it's probably the closest thing to PlayStation View. They're pretty similar. They have a lot of the same channels and stuff like that. Yeah. And then you can do a little extra each month and you can get like Showtime, Shudder, and some of the other channels that, you know, I think it's Showtime. I don't think HBO's on there, but
yeah.
Like I said, but then that's extra money each month too.
The problem I have though is I don't care about TV shows and cable channels. I care about the fact that now it used to be you had access to, whether it's renting or seeing in the theater, any movie that came out. Now you have to, you know, if I want to see this Tom Hanks movie, I can't rent it.
Yeah.
I have to pay for Apple TV or find a way that's not so legal to watch it. And it's frustrating because if the show's on HBO, I got to wait 5 years for somebody else to pick it up to stream it. Right. I'm not paying for 10 different services.
What did anyone read the article earlier this year? This was probably back in February or March, where this Disney animated movie, instead of going, it was slated to go in theaters, and they said, well, screw it. We're just going to go straight to rentals, like through Amazon or through whatever. And it made billions of dollars.
That's Onward. Wasn't it something like, maybe, what was that called?
Yeah.
Well, that's on their streaming service.
Right. But they were still paying, they were still making people rent it or whatever, because it was supposed to be in theater. Anyway. Basically, they kind of showed that they can make just as much money going straight to the consumer's home as opposed to going through the middleman of going to the box office.
Well, that's, I mean, I brought up last time the Scooby-Doo movie coming out. If you want to watch that, it's $24.99. I mean, for me to watch that, that's more than going to the theaters to see that. But I can understand it, because if you have a family of four, I mean, that's less of the cost than going to the theater for them.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Also, did you guys see drive-ins are back? Drive-ins are a thing again.
Saw that.
Like,
pretty cool, actually.
I know. I'm all for it. The local Twin Creek, so Marcus Cinemas, we're not sponsored by Marcus Cinemas or anything. We're not sponsored by anyone.
We can be.
Yeah, go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. The thing that gets me is they're doing double features for drive-ins, but they start at 9 p.m.
Yes, I read that. E.T. and Jurassic Park starting at 9 p.m. You'll be up there till 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I was like, and I get it. It has to be dark out, right?
Sure.
So it makes sense. But a double feature for two and a half hour movies?
Like back before, like when I was a kid, they would do like three movies, but I think they would start a little earlier, but still you would be there late because they would play like three movies.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but I don't think they were ever both or all three 2.5 hour movies.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, three movies at 2 hours, you know, that's.
Yeah, about the same thing.
Yeah. Has anyone else seen anything?
Not so much movie-wise, but I watched that docu series, The Last Dance, with the Michael Jordan and all that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Interesting. Like, if you listen to some of the other stuff, like, almost anybody who was on it's not happy with how they were portrayed, except for Jordan, pretty much.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty scathing for a lot of people.
Yeah. He kind of did go... and on some people, and like he would talk about like how much he liked Scottie Pippen, and then something would come up and he would basically just dog Scottie Pippen about it. And
man.
Same with like he wasn't too happy with Horace Grant with a lot of stuff and things like that. But so it was interesting. And then like I said, you listen to other people and they're like, yeah, none of that's true. And then other people like, it's all true. So it's like, really, what do you believe?
Right. Who are you gonna believe for any of this? Also, I read that the only reason The Last Dance became a thing is because after LeBron won a couple of the titles, I think Jordan finally felt that there is a threat to him being the best of all time. So we have to do this docuseries.
Back in his glory.
Right, to get him, to make sure people still realize his greatness and his relevance and all that stuff. So. It is interesting. And ESPN, I learned this too. ESPN actually pushed up this docuseries. I don't think it was slated to air until later this year.
It was supposed to be during the NBA Finals.
Right.
But, you know, NBA is not a thing now. So.
Right.
I think it was supposed to start Father's Day weekend, which is still, what, three weeks away? Something like that?
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks away. So pushing it up, I think, really... I mean, it gave ESPN a big boost, I think, because people don't stop talking. Yeah. About it. It's like that and Tiger King right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all talk radio has talked about since it came out is The Last Dance. I mean, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that's all they're talking about.
Yeah. I feel like that would have been relatively big had it not been for quarantine. But with the quarantine stuff, it just got so much bigger than I think it ever would have been.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I finished Game of Thrones. I don't know if we talked about this on last episode. I don't think we did. I finished Game of Thrones. It's my second time through.
Man, you guys ran through that.
We did, yeah. I mean, we're in quarantine, man.
I mean, I mean, they're long episodes, but still, man. Last time I heard, you were on like season 4 or 5.
Yeah. We did probably 2 episodes a night. 4 or 5 days a week. So do the math. And I mean, we got through it in less than 2 months, I think. But no, I'll be honest, going back through it and seeing, like, knowing how it's going to end, you can pick up on all these details. I think it ended the way it should. I hated it the first time around, and I absolutely think it ended the way it should. None of you guys have seen it, have you? Brent has.
Well, no.
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
I've seen it, and I don't disagree with you. A lot of people had issues with the events of the last season.
Right.
I was not one of those. My issue was that those events felt too rushed.
And that's what I was thinking too, because I hated the events the first time, and I was like, it felt rushed. They didn't give enough time to simmer. Dude, you see this coming for like 3 seasons now that you know it's going to happen.
Okay, that's fair. So that's a good point, because you watched it all continuously.
Yeah,
and possibly it was that huge delay. Because to me, yeah, it was like, man, well, all this stuff is just like each episode was this huge deal, right. And so it's just like they were rushing through it just to wrap all of these loose ends up. But possibly, I guess maybe if you watch it without that year and a half delay,
dude, I'm telling you, and yeah, like. There are little details, which I think gives to the credit of the writers and the producers, that you see happen, and then they bring them back like 4 episodes later, and you're like, okay, that's pretty cool, and then it just keeps happening, and then you see the snap coming. I don't want to talk about it a ton.
I think for me, I gave up on it. The writing went downhill fast.
It all doesn't of the get best that actors bad.
Died. So you got bad writing combined with mostly bad acting, and it's like, I'm not wasting my time. Daenerys, that woman is maybe one of the worst actors working right now. Jon Snow is a plank of wood.
He's a human, not wood.
I had heard from multiple people who started it recently and went straight through that it wasn't as bad, because I think the delay really hurt it, because, I mean, a year and a half, you're sitting there waiting for this, and then it came down to what it was.
And everybody has their own mind.
Oh, yeah.
The way that it should have ended. And I'm telling you, if you hated it, and if any of our listeners hated it the first time they went through, go through it again, at least
seasons. Spend the 90 to 100 hours and go through it again.
Okay, but time out. I was thinking about this because I was going back through, and I just finished like Better Call Saul, and I started Breaking Bad again. And like, those are a couple of my favorite shows of all time. I can't, Game of Thrones is in all honesty, the pinnacle start to finish of the best show that I've ever seen.
Let me ask you this, Mike.
Yeah.
You said Laura read all the books.
Yeah.
What was her thoughts from the books to the show?
I think, well, so she has, that's a weird perspective, I think, because she said she enjoyed when it was with the books, but I don't know if that's like, I know what's going to happen and I can see it playing out, or if it's like, I don't like how it ended because they're not on the books. Does that make sense?
Well, I know Aaron's read the books, and he said, once they got out of the books, it started to get really bad, because you're not using Martin's words anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he was still executive producing on that, so
yeah.
I mean, it just became more of a soap opera.
I mean, gimmick. It did. Actually, in all honesty, that first season is basically straight up soap opera.
The first season is character introduction, and it's wonderful. You spend a whole season to introduce characters so that 7 following seasons you're invested.
Yeah,
but that's fair. Then it's like, you know, you get it almost becomes a gimmick. Oh, who are they going to kill this season in episode 8 of this season?
But I mean, hear me out. We're used to that, because that happens in every season, even in George R. R. Martin's seasons, right? The first 4 or 5 seasons. And then, how it ends, I don't want to give anything away, because I mean, it's still fairly fresh and it's not even a year old, and people might be making their way through it. But even Laura looked to me at the end of the last season and was like, I thought more people would die. So, yeah.
Well, they kind of, it's funny, because throughout the series, they were willing to kill off people, but it seems like the last season they were just like, we can't kill any of these people. We don't want to kill any of these people.
Yeah. So, Disney get involved? The Marvel Universe get involved
somehow? Yeah, I think so. They can't
kill anybody.
Co-contracted, yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw a spoiler out there. I forgot that we weren't spoiling it.
No, I mean, it's old, so it's fine.
I'm pretty sure the only one of us that hasn't seen the last season is Aaron.
Yeah. And
he's probably never going to watch it, so.
Yeah. No, I'll wait until the book will never come out.
Yeah.
Martin will be dead before then.
I don't know. I think he'll finish it by the graces of the seven gods.
Oh, Jesus. All right, let's move on to movie talk.
Real quick, though, go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. I'm looking for another show to watch. If any of our listeners have a show recommendation for me, please let me know. You can request it right on our homepage.
I'll tell you to start Ozark.
Ozark's all right.
I finished season one. Pretty good. Tell me what you think, Mike.
All right. Sounds good. How many seasons are on season three?
I think they just finished season three.
All right.
And it's on Netflix, so.
Yep, I remember when that first came out. That's got Jason Bateman, right?
Yep.
Yep, I remember when it first came out, so I'm looking forward to that. Let's move on. Back to the Future, it was my pick this week. So I picked Back to the Future because I figured we had been through, like, a lot of these great series from yesteryear. Like, we'd been through Star Wars, and we've done some Indiana Jones. And we did another series. I can't remember. But anyway, we haven't done Back to the Future, which I don't think ever really gets tossed into the ring as a great 80s series. Do you guys agree?
Well, I mean, if you say great 80s series, then sure.
Or great series in general?
I'll throw my initial thoughts out there, then we'll move to everybody so we're not talking over each other. But I was surprised at how much it just was kind of to me. I mean,
really?
Of course, it's fun. It's an adventure. Michael J. Fox is always fun to watch. He's got a lot of charisma. But I don't know. I was kind of underwhelmed this time through. And maybe it's because it's so well known and I've seen it a thousand times. And it's like, okay, I know every beat of this movie by now.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Aaron on it. After rewatching this, I understand why it's so, like, popular, but this was kind of meant to me this time, I guess.
Movies like this are hard because, like Aaron said, you know, most of us have seen it so many times. So I try to look at these movies, like, what was my reaction the first time I saw it? And as a kid, I really liked these movies, especially the first one and second one, I think. And as far as great series go, like, it's been so long since I've seen the second and third one, but, like, I don't know if those were quite as good. So it's hard to say series when the first one everybody likes and then the next ones people aren't huge fans of. I think, like, the second one people like, but the third one, I'm not so sure that people were fans of that one.
Sure.
I know.
Sorry, go ahead.
I don't want to make it sound like I don't like the movie. The movie is pretty fantastic. This was made before any of us were born, and the effects mostly still hold up. They did a lot of things practically. Some of the CGI is, you know, by today's standards, not great, but some of it actually is pretty good for a movie that's over, I mean, it's what, 25 years old now, I think? It was made in 85, I think?
35?
Yeah. Math. Do math, man.
But, I mean, so, I don't want to take away from the movie. It's great. You got, the two leads are fantastic. You got Michael J. Fox, who, I mean, at that time was just, he was everybody's idol if you were a teenager. I don't know, something about it, like I said, I think the only reason this time was underwhelming, it's because I you know every single line, you know what's gonna happen. But at the same time, I will say there were still moments, it was very good movie making tension, because you know what's going to happen, you know what they have to do, and maybe because it's that thing where it's like, okay, you have this much time to do this specific thing, and all these things happen to try to prevent them from getting to do what they need to do. So it creates this almost false tension, but it is pretty still a tense movie.
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed it. I haven't seen this for probably 10 plus years.
I'd say the same.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. I was like, does this happen in the first movie or the second movie?
It is kind of hard, like, to remember which one was which. But mm-hmm. I always remembered it. The first one, he's only at that time, present time, and then in the 50s. But in the second one, he goes into the future. So I always remember, like, the stuff where people, where they make predictions about the future and stuff like that. I know that was all from the second one.
Yeah.
And I got the DVD cover here, and it says, Steven Spielberg presents Back to the Future, a Robert Zemeckis film. I mean, that's 35 years old, and both those names I just mentioned are still prominent today.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
wasn't Zemeckis just – didn't he just have something this year that was nominated, or am I wrong?
Not nominated, but he – let's see.
He's mostly known for these types of... He's like a Steven Spielberg light where you have these kind of big blockbuster adventure movies. But, I mean, I will always love him for Forrest Gump. he did... We reviewed Allied not too long ago. He did that, I really liked that one. I don't think he's done anything too big recently.
I just pulled up his IMDb. A movie that's supposed to come out this year already has, called The Witches. And then in 2018, he did that Welcome to Marwen with Steve Carell, which I don't think any of us have seen.
No, that was kind of, that got okay reviews. It wasn't one I was too concerned about seeing.
So those are his last two. It looks like he has quite a few stuff coming out at some point. The King, Pinocchio, Billy Ray, which is a TV series, and Aries, but those all don't have release dates yet. But apparently he's doing Pinocchio.
Yay, another live action.
Yeah. Well, and in this movie, you mentioned it was Steven Spielberg Presents. You could tell his influence on Zemeckis and this movie in particular. It's got, I mean, it's the same feeling of something like E.T., where it's just kind of this adventure start to finish, and it's I think Spielberg mostly is credited for creating the summer blockbuster type of movies, and I mean, this is definitely that. It's a popcorn movie. There's not a whole lot of depth. There's not a whole lot of instances where you can say, oh, that's wonderful acting, such subtlety, such emotion. It's just an adventure start to finish is all it is.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. You had said the two main characters are pretty good, but outside of that, I think some of the side characters are odd. His dad, who's played by Crispin Glover, I think anytime I see that guy in a movie, I just find him odd and weird, at least to me.
I actually read up some trivia on Crispin Glover. He is like 3 years younger than Marty McFly, or than Michael J. Fox at the time. And he didn't, he was in a contract dispute for the second and third movies or something like that, because they shot two and three back to back. But he was in a contract dispute, so he walked away from the films and they still used his likeness. And so he got to sue the films, and he got a big settlement out of it. So, I mean, I wonder, he didn't do much outside of...
Well, he ended up getting a reputation of being somebody hard to work with. So, like, some people started staying away from him. So,
yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, I wonder if his career would have been a lot different had he just signed on for less money to do these movies instead of walking away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it would have been different, but like I said, sometimes, you know, these people get in something that, right or wrong, they get an idea in their head that they're worth more than what they're getting, and they stick on it, and sometimes it works in their favor, sometimes it, you know, can make it so they have a reputation where people don't want to work with them.
Oh, definitely. All right, aside from Crispin Glover, what did you guys think of the other actors or actresses?
Obviously, well, we touched on Michael J. Fox. He's great and charismatic and a great lead.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd, though, I think makes this movie what it is.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought up one of the main actors in the movie.
Got him. What? We talked about
John Mulaney's stand-up, it's worth listening to, specifically because he talks about Back to the Future. Just Google it, John Mulaney, Back to the Future. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But he talks about Christopher Lloyd in his stand-up, and he's like, this guy's either 40 or 80. And it's so true.
Yeah, they show him in the present time as this old man, and then they go back to the future, and he hardly looks any younger, even though it's 30 years ago.
Yep.
Hair, man. His hair's white in the present time. It's not white in the past. That's the only thing that changes.
Well, and you had mentioned you wanted to talk about that Mulaney stand-up because, I mean, even you and Matt McNeil said the first thing they thought about when you think of Back to the Future is that stand-up. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, he, in his stand-up, he says, oh, there, it's Marty McFly hangs out with this old disgraced nuclear physicist, and we never get it explained.
We don't.
Who cares? No. I don't want a backstory. I want the adventures of Marty McFly and Doc Brown.
No, I know. But, I mean, it is kind of funny because you're like, how do these guys become friends? And it's never, ever explained.
Wait, you mean when you guys were like 15, 16, you didn't have a 70-year-old friend that you just hung out with?
No, I had a 40 to 80-year-old friend or 40 to 70-year-old friend. Honestly, how old is he? We don't know.
They became friends because Marty McFly went back into the past and told him how he was going to invent his time machine.
Which I think that is this movie deals with time travel, I think, a lot better than other movies.
It deals with it oddly because,
what do you mean?
I don't know. There are times where it just doesn't seem to make sense to me because I don't know. It just,
I think it's handled well. Like, They dabble enough in it to like, all right, yeah, it's all making sense. It's all coming together and not like dabbling too much in the technical side of like, this shit would never make sense.
I mean, it's kind of the same time travel we've gotten for probably since this movie. Yeah. You don't mess with the timeline. If you mess with the timeline, stuff's going to happen in the future that's different from, just like Marty's brother and sister could potentially not be born.
Yeah. One thing that I also saw in the movie, which I think was really creative, is right when Marty goes back in time, he smashes into the pine tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then did you guys see what the mall is called when he comes back?
Twin Pines.
No, Twin Pines is the first time, but when he comes...
Pine.
Yeah, when it's Lone, it's Lone Pine. Is it? Yeah.
That's clever.
Right? Like, I think that's hilarious.
No, it's, when he comes back, it's Lone.
Yeah. If they did that for one thing, I think there's got to be other creative things that I just didn't notice, you know? Because I think, like, Robert Zemeckis is a good enough director to figure out all of these things and to actually have a creative piece like this, especially with Steven Spielberg alongside him.
Yeah. I guess it moves at such a pace that it's hard to see those details if they were in there.
Yeah.
Well, they made that one. That one I thought was they made kind of obvious because he stops and rests in front of the sign. So, I mean, it'd be more of like if you just read the sign, I guess, because it was on there for at least a few seconds of him just standing there.
Yeah. What other actors? We didn't talk about.
What's her name? Leia Thompson. Leia Thompson.
Her and I can't think of the guy's name, but the guy who plays Biff, they're really the only other two people that.
Yeah. Leia Thompson plays Marty's horny mother who just wants to have sex with any guy that actually acknowledges her.
It's the 50s, man. That's what happened.
Oh, sure.
Thomas F. Wilson is Biff.
Dude, but
I'm pretty sure everybody knows him as Biff. So
yeah, hate me, but he's the biggest over actor I think I've ever seen.
Oh well, sure, but I think that is what they told him to do.
Oh, sure,
he's supposed to make a cartoon bad guy.
Yeah,
and he is in our intro when we do our normal intro. You know, hello.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
You didn't even know that what movie that was from, did you?
No, I did, but I forgot about it until I was watching the movie and I was like, duh.
Sorry, I don't know if you guys can hear my cat meowing in the background. She's meowing pretty loud.
I got nothing. I was going to see if I have a sounder for that, but I don't. What else do we want to talk about with this film?
Cinematography for, like I mentioned, the a lot of the visuals actually do hold up for how old the movie is. And I was impressed from the get-go. They had that one long shot, establishing shot of Doc Brown's house and all these machines he's invented. And like you don't even, before you even see the character, you know what type of guy he is because they pants through for whatever 10 minutes with all these quirky inventions, and then you hear him talking on the phone and he's like just this obviously crazy eccentric type of guy. I thought that was a pretty great intro because not only it tells you who Doc Brown is, and then you get the intro to Marty, and I thought overall it was actually directed very well. There weren't any instances where I was like, what the heck are you doing? Or what, why would you do that? Or, you know, things like that. I thought it, there were times where I thought it was great, and then times where it's just, you know, serviceable for an adventure action movie.
Yeah. I was actually watching it midway through the movie. It was when Marty and Doc were in the 1950s and they were in the high school, and there was this, the staging of the scene was just kind of awkward, and Doc was being so eccentric that I was like, in any other movie I would think this is cheesy as hell, just the way that he's talking and the way that he's like working the scene. But since it's Doc Brown, and because the way that this movie has progressed, it gets a pass. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because like Aaron said, they established that character pretty fast. So, I mean, you like when, I don't even remember what he says it, but when he's talking about the dance, he's like, oh, some teenage social gathering or whatever he says. I don't remember, but
it was that scene. It was that scene. And it's like, God, this is so cheesy, but it works. you can definitely, I think, feel the Spielberg vibe, especially in some of those scenes, because
yes,
Spielberg has this little bit of cheese that it's, you know, it's a fresher cheese. It's like a Gouda or a Brie. Wow. You know,
well, okay, and Spielberg, I mean, I respect the guy. I love, he made a lot of wonderful movies, but that cheesy, that Spielberginess that we talk about,
the Gouda
tends to the Gouda tends to not fit in the movies he makes. This is a type of movie where it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think with Christopher Lloyd, he's the perfect actor for that type of cheesy. I mean, this is the character that has literally defined his career, and I think it's the perfect role for a guy like Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, the way he delivers the performance physically and the way he delivers the lines is pretty awesome. Just even the one, everybody knows the scene where he looks at like three different watches and he just keeps looking, I mean anybody but Christopher Lloyd, this is one of those roles where I cannot envision it being nearly as good with somebody else in the role.
Man, I just looked him up on IMDb. He has over 200 credits.
Dude, so thank you, Brent, because I actually just did the same thing. And and I was like, damn. I didn't realize, like, I guess I forgot all of the things he had been in that I had seen.
Yeah. I mean, for him, his two movie roles that I remember the most would be this one and Back to the Future, and he was the judge, or I guess you want to say bad guy, and Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Right?
Those are the two that I remember from him the most.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Adam's Family Values? Come on.
Right. Come on. I didn't know that. I like spaced that one as well. He's Professor Plum in Clue.
Yeah.
Which we've done an episode of. Go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. Look up.
Oh, no. No. Hold on.
Wait, what?
He's credited in The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai as his character name, John Big Booty. Or yeah, Big Booty. Oh, jeez. But anyway, yeah, I loved him in this movie. This is really the only movie I ever remember him being a part of when you think of him. But
yeah, oh, without a doubt. I mean, well, this and Piranha 3D.
True. Piranha 3D, yep.
Also, I wanted to touch on this, because I think we're about done talking with Back to the Future, unless there's more that you guys want to touch on.
I think it's...
Okay, because I think the story's fine. I mean, it's interesting enough... even if you've seen it a few times, to go back and rewatch it.
I do want to say one real quick, speaking of cheesiness, yeah. I wanted to bring this up. Normally, it's kind of like you go, oh my God, when they deliver the line that's the title of the movie. But the way it was delivered, where Doc Brown's like, we've got to get... And he looks directly at the camera and points, Back to the Future. It was the way it was delivered worked in this case. Usually I'm like, oh God, come on. But it was pretty great.
Dude, between that line and the final line in the movie, it's some of the most iconic lines, I think, from the 80s, where the final line of the movie, where we're going, we don't need roads. So perfect. So perfect. No, but one thing I want to talk about too, Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Back to the Future is a direct influence on Rick and Morty, which I think is fantastic. It actually started off as a short called Doc and Marty or something like that, which...
Yeah, obvious.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, they ramped up the
lazy Doc Brown wannabe, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more adult oriented for Rick and Morty, but you can definitely, it's very obvious that that's what they were doing. And
well, I mean, yeah, and the director that first made the short film basically came and was like, yeah, I just wanted to troll Back to the Future, and it was a direct influence and all these things. It's actually a pretty interesting backstory.
I was gonna say, clearly, like, I've seen a few episodes of it, and just watching one episode, just seeing previews of it, you can clearly see that it's Back to the Future is a huge influence on it. I mean, like,
oh, without a doubt,
it's not hard to see that at all.
Yeah, if you guys, if listeners haven't seen Rick and Morty, if you like adult themed cartoons, it's definitely, I think, cream of the crop. I would definitely check it out.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But I think I've seen like four episodes, and of those four, the second episode with Scary Terry is by far the best episode I've seen, and one of the funniest things I've seen in a TV show in general.
That might be one of my favorite Rick and Morty episodes in its entirety, in all honesty. Through the three or four seasons that they have, I that one might be my favorite. It's the second episode in. I'm gonna get you, bitch. All right. I think we're at the point. Also, I never did this at the beginning of the episode. Back to the Future on Rotten Tomatoes is rated at a 96% certified fresh from critics and a 94% from audience members. Critics given 8.73 and audience score of 4.47 out of 5.
We didn't mention it because I kind of forgot about it until now, yeah. But you might not even know who this is, but they had a nice little cameo of Huey Lewis, who, you know, him and his band sings the theme song for the movie.
Yeah. Yep.
He's the teacher or whatever. He's like, you guys are just too loud.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Also, the whatever, was he the principal or whatever that kept stopping? He stopped George McFly in the hall and he stopped Marty McFly in the hall and telling you, no, you're not going to amount to anything. That was the from Top Gun. The leader of, you know, smoking the cigar, yelling at Tom Cruise. That's the only thing I recognize him immediately. Hey, that guy's from Top Gun.
I hate you.
I don't know if he's ever been anything else.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite call that stuff. I wouldn't quite call that a cameo.
Yeah, that was just him trying to get an acting job.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we ready to rate it?
Yep.
All right. I'll go first since I already have my score.
Okay.
I love this movie. Like Aaron said, I think the visuals hold up. The story is fine enough. It's interesting enough. I think it handles a fine line of cheese and substance. You know, cheese and cracker, really. Just, I love looking at Shane's face.
He's muted. We can't hear him, but we feel his emotions right now.
He wants to turn his mic on so much. Say something. It is,
I feel like if he could slap me through the camera, he would. I'm going to give this movie an 8.8 miles.
8.8?
Per hour.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, bro. We can't do that.
Do you really want to give it that score, or did you just want to do that for the 88 miles per hour?
It was the bad joke.
I mean, in all honesty, I think this movie gets like around an 8.5 to 9, so I'm just going to stick with 8.8 for the fun
of it. There you go. I mean, that's
so.
Okay.
Who's next? Aaron, are you writing these scores down for me?
I am. Yep, I got it.
Perfect.
He's got that 8.8 down.
Okay, so I guess I'll just go. Like I said, I don't know if underwhelmed is the right word. I still appreciate how good the movie is. I just think it was harder to get caught up in it this time because, like I said, I've seen it hundreds of times. However many times I've seen this movie, I know exactly what's going to happen. But it still worked. It still held up. Michael J. Fox is great. Christopher Lloyd is fantastic. So I'm around 7.25 on this.
That's not fast enough to go Back to the Future, though.
No.
Nope.
You say 7.25?
Yep.
I get where Aaron's coming from because, like I said, I've seen this movie so many times. It is kind of hard to give it a score where you think. That's why I said when I watch these movies that I've seen so many times, I try to remember what it was like the first time I saw it. And I do remember loving this movie. And watching it again now, it's still a good movie. So I'll give it an 8 lightning strikes on a clock tower.
Yeah, I really like this movie. I don't think I've seen it as much as you guys have. But I think being a movie that's 35 years old, it still holds up to this day, whether it be cinematography, acting. I mean, even the plot lines are still good. The acting in this is good. I'm going to give it an 8.5. Shane?
I'm actually right with Steve. It's an 8.5. It's an 8-minus, which is in the same range as 8.8. So I'm willing to – I'll give it an 8.8 just because that was actually – that's a pretty clever – as far as Mike's terrible jokes go. So I'll give it an 8.8 as well, because it's in the same range of what I was going to give it anyways. So also, I wanted to bring up, I love that they just don't address things in this movie. Like you already got, you talked about like their relationship, but it doesn't matter. They just don't address it. But also the Libyans that play such a huge part in the events of this movie. There is no explanation of why the Libyans just come out of nowhere and kill Doc.
No, they found it. Is,
oh my God, the Libyans.
No, they did. He was supposed to make, they gave him the plutonium and he was supposed to make them a bomb, but he gave them a fake bomb full of pinball parts.
I must have missed that part. Yeah. But anyways,
so that's why they were mad at him.
That's fair then.
But why then though? And such blatant racism though is so ridiculous.
Well, it's the 80s.
The Libyans, and they pull out a freaking RPG.
You ever seen an action movie in the 80s of the bad guys in those movies?
Dude, for real though.
That's par for the course.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. You seen an action movie? Did you see the new Rambo movie? It's just action movies don't care. You gotta make the bad guys and
that's fair.
Foreigners.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. Oh man, so funny. All right, Aaron, do you have our final score?
Yeah, 8.27 is the final score.
All right. So that is sitting at
a B+. B+, yep.
Aaron, do you want to play this or that?
We'll do a few rounds of this or that. So I'll start with this or Rogue One.
This.
I go Rogue One.
They're different. I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge, like, I know, like, Aaron and Shane and them really like Rogue One. I wasn't a huge fan of that one.
I mean, Rogue One is the best of any of the recent movies, so
yeah.
Still
yeah,
this.
I'd say Rogue One is probably a better movie, but for the sake that this is a start of a franchise, 35 years old, I'm saying this.
Okay, this or Logan?
Same thing, this.
This.
Probably, okay. I've seen this so many times, so I'll go with Logan on
this, that
one, just because I've seen it so many times.
This or Bad Times at the El Royale? I go that.
Ooh.
This.
That's a toughie, but I think I'm going to say that. I really like Jeff Bridges in that movie.
I'm going the same thing with what I said with Logan. I mean, just because I've seen Back to the Future so many times, I'll go with the El Royale.
This one is interesting. This is these two movies are within 0.05 of each other, and to me, it's not close. So this or The Thing, and I go The Thing hands down.
Probably The Thing. The Thing is probably one of the greatest movies of all time, at least for me.
I don't know. That's tough because they're so different.
Mm, my internet kind of cut out there. I didn't even hear what the this or that was.
The Thing.
Ooh.
I think I said The Thing.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Same thing, right within less than a 0.1, this or Atomic Blonde?
I haven't seen that.
That's a good-ass movie.
Man. I think I just watched that because the rewatchability of that, I think, is a little more, I don't know. The movie sucks. The action's great.
Yeah. I have a couple this or that's that actually I want to go through. This or Star Wars A New Hope?
New Hope.
Probably A New Hope.
This
or what was the first Indiana Jones? Is that Raiders?
Mm. Say Indiana Jones.
Yeah, indeed.
This or Indiana Jones? Okay.
I go Indiana Jones. It probably doesn't matter which Indiana Jones it is, to be honest.
Well, Crystal Skull. You didn't pick Crystal Skull.
Okay, I don't even count that.
All right, well, okay, hear me out. Back to the Future 3 or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Back to the Future 3.
I actually like that one. That's probably the one I saw the most growing up.
I mean, I enjoyed it too, but that one wasn't nearly as popular as the first two.
Yeah, but Crystal Skull's pretty bad.
Bad. All right, so what is it, 8.27?
Yep.
8.27, B+, for Back to the Future. This is a great time, guys. We are in quarantine. You have nothing but free time on your hands. So go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. movies.com. Again, request movies right on our homepage. I'm also looking for a new TV series to binge and watch while I'm sitting at home. So please request that. Or if you want to email the show, give us a critique. Let us know what we're doing right. Let us know what we're doing wrong. Email us at podcast@moviereviewcrew.com. Do we have a who's picking next week? Do we know?
Brent's pick, according to my sheet.
Perfect. So Brent picks Who Framed Roger Rabbit, right, Brent?
Have we not done that one?
I'm not watching that movie. That movie is not as good as you guys like to pretend.
That movie is great. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like Tony the Tiger.
Yeah.
Do we have a pick though for next week, Brent? Are you gonna make a decision?
No. I didn't know when my pick was coming. Apparently, it's now. So I was thinking of maybe picking that Netflix movie with David Spade, the Wrong Missy or whatever her name was.
I have no idea what you're even talking about.
Wrong Missy. It just came out last week on Netflix.
David Spade. As of right now, I'm leaning towards that, but I'm not 100% sure at the moment.
All right. So join us next week for Brent's pick. Anything else in the meantime, guys?
Nope.
All right. Well, someone end the show.
Tell your friends.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Good day, sir. Sir, I said good day!
Yeah. See ya.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This has been
the Movie Review Crew podcast. Remember to find us online on your favorite social media apps and go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
Yeah. Linger, man.
Yeah, totally.
Linger.
Hardcore.